and welcome to the D2 Sports Show, where I bring knowledge and insight to the wonderful world of sports. And I am your host, The Coach.
What's up, everybody? Hope everybody is doing well out there and you're having a great day. Now, if you live in the state of Texas, I don't know how you can have a great day because, man, it is so hot. Just burning up. Inferno down here. But hey, that's the way that the state is run, and that's something that's always been here. So with that, great to be back on the show again today as we're going to talk about game one and give you the recap of what went down with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, what we think the teams did well and what they could improve on for game two. And real quick, for those of you that's out there and you like the show and you want to follow, you can follow me if you're on Facebook, the D2 Sports Podcast. Just type that in the search box. You'll see the little logo pop up and click on the page, click the like button, and again, share with your friends and family. Also, I'm on Twitter with the @D2Sports27 or #D2Sports27, whatever y'all call it nowadays. And then if you don't like the social media stuff, then you can go to my website and sign up for the free newsletter. And my website is www.D2Sports27.com. So those are some of the places you can find me. You can also find me on LinkedIn as the D2 Sports Podcast or show. You'll see a lovely picture of me, myself, and I. But with that being said, those are some of the places you can get in contact with me. And for the third time, please feel free to share it. All right. So now we're about to jump off into what me and Roosevelt was discussing about game one with the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors, in which Golden State won in overtime by a score of 124-114. Roosevelt, I want to hear your views on the game.
Oh, I thought we talked about that game already. No, we didn't.
No, that's why I'm saying that. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, well, Cleveland did all they could do. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen game two, though. Mm-hmm. Lou
coached a good team, that's
us. Lou did what? Yeah, he coached a good game.
Oh, of course.
He really did a good job of coaching.
Of course. Yeah, I think he always do a good job.
Yeah. People don't want to give him credit, but he had a game plan in game one. And they almost succeeded.
And what do you think that game plan was, in your opinion?
To pound them on the board and slow the ball down.
That's good. Yeah.
Like they did when they won the championship. Don't get in that transition. Slow it down.
Uh-huh.
Walk the ball up court. Walk it up court. And pound them on the glass. And that's what Tristan Thompson and them did. They pound them on the glass. Where they didn't really get out in those transition baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had to sit there and pound them. And that, you know, I've always said that. You know, I know when people talk about a Boogie Cousins being in there,
uh-huh,
that Golden State would take advantage on transition, that they would take advantage of him because they run down the court.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but when you got a Boogie Cousins pounding that damn offensive board, they can't get in transition like they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the first game, Thompson, them dunking them on the offensive board.
Yeah.
And to me, that's how they played in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did get a lot of offensive rebounds, him and Kevin Love and Jeff Green and other players. They were able to crash the boards a lot. So, yeah, I think that was one advantage. How do you think Cleveland did defensively?
Uh-huh. Defensively, they just, you know, they switched up. You know, when they went for these pick and roll, those guys came up and got them. They came up and got them.
Right.
Golden State was making some hard shots. Granted, they was making them. But, yeah, these guys came up and played that pick and roll and played it damn good. They moved their feet. Even Kevin Love came up and did a good job on defense.
Right.
Even though I know he's much slower than some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like was Green.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a good game shooting, but I think he did a hell of a job on Kevin Durant.
Right.
When he was in the game. I think he gave Kevin Durant problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his length and his height. where Kevin Durant couldn't just shoot open.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. He didn't put, Durant. I mean, LeBron's guarding him on pick and rolls, but most of the time when Green was on the court, it was Green that was on Durant.
Uh-huh. No.
That... So I like that part, too.
Oh, well, good. And how do you think the role players played in that game for Cleveland?
Besides Love, well, Green played good defensively. He didn't really score.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Love played good ball. I know we've been talking about Kevin. He did put up 21 points and, like, damn near 20 rebounds. Now.
Wait, who put that up?
What's his name? Kevin Love.
Say what?
Oh, wow. I haven't had a chance to look at the stats yet to see what exactly, I know LeBron did his 51-8-8, but I didn't look at the other stats. But wow, that's a monster game for him.
Yeah, Kevin Love put up 21 points and like 18, 19 rebounds.
Wow.
So I'm not going to say with him, he did help. But the other part was his other three guys. this is what hurt him. I think the other three, they put up a combined, I was looking at the stat sheet, that's George Hill, who else the other starter, Tristan Thompson, and J.R. Smith. They only put up a combined, and they don't work against Golden State, 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
They only put up 16 points, and then the highest score off the bench put up 8 points, and you know who that was?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was Larry Nance.
So oh, that's cool.
Didn't put up nothing on it, Larry Nance.
Yeah, I said that's cool.
Yeah, but Kobe didn't put up a lot. Boston only had 6. Kobe only had like 5. And then like I said, Thompson played good, switching on defense. I'm not saying he didn't play good defense.
Mm-hmm.
But he only scored 2 points. Yeah, he only scored 2 points. And then, J.R. didn't have a good game. He only scored like 6 or 7. And then George Hill, I think, played good. I'll put it this. They played good defense.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't score the ball.
Right.
They just didn't score the ball. Because, look, either one of them other boys would have got in double figures, even after all those blunders,
mm-hmm.
they probably still would have won the game. Probably still would have won the game instead of winning overtime.
That is so true.
If they take that mentality, that defense, into the next game, it's going to be a close game again.
Right.
If they take that defensive mentality, it's going to be close again, I think.
Well, it should
now,
be.
Golden State is counting on Iguodala. Somebody, Iguodala can draw LeBron. That's a lie.
But hold on. But wait. Before we get over there on Golden State side, let's still discuss this Cleveland thing. Because as you were saying, the way Cleveland played was so much better than what people thought or predicted that they would play. And my other... questions are, okay, so do you think this will be a tighter series? In other words, this won't be a 4-game or a 5-game series. Do you think this series will go to 6 or 7 if Cleveland continues to play the way that they did on Thursday night?
Yeah, but they got to get somebody else to give them double.
Right, and I'm sure that's going to happen. I'm sure somebody else on that team between George Hill, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Kyle Culver, or Jordan Clarkson, or Rodney Hood, or somebody else off that bench, Jeff Green, will get up to that 15-20-point mark. And I guess along with you would also have to keep Kevin Love up to where he played, if he can play up to par again as he did with that performance. I mean, do you think that's possible for Cleveland?
It's possible, but yeah, it's possible. I'd love to see it go 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon shoot him.
You say what?
And I don't know what he. I said, Kevin is about good. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen with him. If he comes out bombing away, Cleveland definitely going to get some more stones. Because Kevin
has
had only 8 out of them.
Right.
So if they can keep Durant down, yeah. But if they keep Durant, it would be hard when these guys would have to put up some double digits to keep up with Golden State.
Right. And so with that, you know, like you said, Lou has a good game plan and what he was doing. You know, LeBron can always get his in that situation on that team.
Right.
So with that, and if you think that, you know, if Golden State tries to take a nap like they've been doing in the last couple of series and says, hey, we're not going to play until the third quarter or something like that, do you think that Cleveland has a great chance in the situation?
Yeah, Cleveland's got a chance. I don't know why people don't think they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They got a chance. Yeah. I know nobody's giving them a chance, but yeah, they got a chance.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, you know, the other night when the game was ending, you had a bunch of little, you know, it's really small for people like us because we're a different generation. But I know in today's generation, they will call it a skirmish and stuff like that. Is anyone being suspended for game two in there from Cleveland?
Nobody's been suspended.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear.
I saw it earlier. Yeah, nobody's suspended.
Okay, good.
No, they're all back.
Good.
They dropped this fragrant down to a fragrant one.
Good, good, good. And hell, you know, like I said, from our generation, hell, that's not even a flagrant. That's just a flare up. That's not even a technical foul. It's just a flare up. So, okay, so now moving over to Golden State, what do you think that Golden State did well in this game?
Well, I said, put it like this. They shut down three more guys. That's what they did well. George Hill, well, Tristan Thompson got the boards, but he didn't score.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen Smith didn't score. So,
oh, you're breaking up.
I'm going to shut down some. I say, maybe that game plan is we can't stop LeBron, but we're going to shut down the people.
Mm-hmm.
They did something.
Uh-huh.
They shut down the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so LeBron scored 50 and they still lose. I don't know. I guess they still did their job.
Can you repeat that, what you were saying a little bit before that? Because your Obama phone kept messing up. Go ahead.
I said, with Golden State, with this first game,
mm-hmm.
what they did was, if you look at it, they couldn't stop LeBron, but they stopped everybody else.
Okay.
And that gave them an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Got them to play for free. LeBron's go fifth and still lose. You know, I'm going to say Love came to play. Cleveland didn't do the defense, but they got to score because, yeah, Kevin Durant from 22, but he still had 26 more.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steph Curry had 28, I think that was, I'm not looking at. And then you got Klay Thompson who came back with 20. You know, and when you put all three of them together, and you put Love and what's his name? LeBron, they still outscored them.
Right.
Those three now almost outscored the whole five for Cleveland.
Right.
So no, it's not going to, you know, they're going to have to come up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Cleveland role players going to have to score the basketball. But they're getting wide open look.
Right.
They like Golden State playing their latest defense.
Right, and that's where I'm getting at, is that Golden State right now, to me, they look like they're taking a nap. And and when you do that, when you fall asleep a lot of times, sometimes you can get bit. You know that old saying is that, you know, the old lady, she found the snake that was sick and she nursed it back to health. And then when the snake got healthy again, the snake turned around and bit her and she ended up dying. And before she died, she said, well, why did you bite me? And the snake said, hey, you knew I was a snake. So, and you know, not to go that far in the depth with Golden State, I'm not saying they're sleeping that bad.
Yeah.
But sometimes, as I've said before in the past on conversations that me and you have had, is that when you got a team down, it's best to go ahead and just step on their neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so
And you
go ahead.
And there's something else too. If you got a team that came in there on game one, talking about Cleveland.
Right.
You know what? They read headlines. You know, those guys ain't blinded to the fact that they don't see Twitter, they don't see stuff in SportsCenter and all of that with these odds of the biggest odds ever that you're not going to win this game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys see that like, damn, they really are calling us a piece of lousy bums, huh?
Yeah.
And so, and I think Cleveland took that to heart, even those guys that didn't score a lot of points. Like I said, they played defense.
Yeah.
They made it hard for Golden State.
That's right.
Because they still came out and played ball. They just didn't get the shot down.
Right.
And I'll tell you now, if they get the shot down the way they played other night, they would beat Golden State.
Yeah.
I don't want to see LeBron have to score 50 again.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. You know, because in playing 48 minutes, you know, even Van Miller to come out of the game the other night.
Right.
Maybe 5 minutes.
Right. And that could be a drawback for Cleveland.
Yes, that's a drawback. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got these other boys come out there playing and the way they play, I just like to see them keep the defensive tenacity they had in game one.
Right. And, you know, to be honest, in the last series with Golden State, you know, Houston, surprisingly of all teams under Mike D'Antoni, no disrespect, but their defense, now, sure, maybe the refs kind of let them get away with a little hand check in there, because I know there were times when guys were guarding Steph Curry, they were just able to do the hand checking that they were able to do back in the 80s and the early 90s. But with that, I mean, if you're going for it, and as we said, Cleveland has nothing to lose, Golden State needs to understand that, hey, look, these guys, they're going to come out here and they're going to throw the kitchen sink. And we can't depend on the striped shirts to say that they're going to make every call, that, you know, if George Hill, just using as an example, if he dives for a loose ball against Curry and hits Curry on the way of stealing the ball, well, needless to say, the ref might not catch it that time. And it may be a critical point in the game. I mean, you saw early the other night when J.R. Smith looked like he undercut Klay Thompson. And they didn't really call a foul on it. They were just like, oh, okay, no big deal. And Klay Thompson hurt his leg. So Golden State needs to be very aware of that type of situations, that if you let a team hang around, then, hey, if you put it in the hands, it's going to come down to the hands of the referee and making calls. And they just got lucky the other night that, hey, the ref made a change call at that last moment when LeBron took the charge, because I thought it was a charge.
Yes,
he was totally out of the restricted area. But they got lucky on that one call. And so if you Golden State, you better wake the hell up. You better wake up.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a wake-up call, Coach. I'm agreeing with everything you said. That was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Because that was 36 seconds up in the game.
Right.
If they'd have called that a charge, I'm not saying now, it's a 50-50 here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Cleveland's going to run the ball down to about 14 seconds left.
Right.
And if they'd have made a shot, if they'd have made the shot, the game was over.
Right.
Because they would have went up by four. If they'd have missed the shot, it's a different story, but that's a 50-50.
Right.
If they'd have made it, it's over. You know, it wouldn't even have to go down to the, whatever his name is, the J.R. Smith, whatever. And to me, Coach, I think more of that blunder that J.R. Smith did.
Yes.
I think Golden State got the break on that charge.
They did. That's where I'm going at.
You know,
they totally did.
Yes.
I mean,
I know everybody.
Go ahead.
I know everybody is slamming J.R. Smith for, you know, it wasn't a heads up play, but that didn't lose the game.
No, that's
for Cleveland.
That's where I'm going.
All it did was kept the game tied.
Right. Because Cleveland momentum at that time, when that play had happened, I mean, you saw the reaction of the bench. You saw the reaction of LeBron. Yeah. You saw the reaction of their team look like, hey, man, we got this in the bag. until that call was made.
Until that call was made to reverse it and then go and give LeBron, no, not LeBron, what's his name? Kevin Durant, two shots.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what tied the game up.
Right.
That was me, to me, Coach, the turning point.
It was.
Not that J.R. Smith-Ibaka. That was the turning point of that game.
Right. And of course, George Hill can't hit his free throws. You know, this guy is usually pretty accurate.
About that either.
Right. Like, in the world do you miss the second one? I mean, the first one was all net. And I said, well, Cleveland still got this thing wrapped up. And then he get up there and totally just bombed the second one. And I thought, oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe that's why JR did what he did, because maybe in his mind he was thinking, just like most of us was thinking, hey, it's golden. We got the game. He's finna hit this free throw. And then all of a sudden he missed and the ball just happened to go in his hands. And he's thinking about game over, because he's thinking George Hill is going to hit this. He's probably seen the guy in practice.
Hit that free throw.
Yeah, hit those free throws. So.
Yep, he's a good free throw shooter.
Yeah, and you know, for that happening, those two things towards the end screwed Cleveland bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead. You was about to say something. Go ahead.
George Hill felt the pressure.
Yeah.
I said pressure kills the person. George Hill felt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, you're right. And I say the same thing. You know, I know what's his name?
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith is going to get it probably for another year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to be showing that
right
on what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You look, no basketball, and you look at it close, you may not look at that one. I'm not. You know, I know he did something blunder, but I'm not blaming that on him.
No.
I'm going back to the refs on this one.
Yeah.
On that charging call.
Yeah, when they change.
That's the one that Cleveland should just tell J.R. to hold his head up, because that, didn't, to me, didn't do it.
Right.
I'm just saying, that didn't do it.
You're correct.
That caused him to lose the game with J.R. did.
I agree with you on that part. And just so the people out there, just so you know, we were trying to record this yesterday, but we didn't have enough time because of our jobs. So we're late to the punch recording it today. Me and Roosevelt was discussing yesterday. Now, let's go into the referee world for a second here, especially in basketball. In basketball, mainly in high school and middle school and stuff like that, sometimes you have two men in the referee rims where you just have two refs. Well, in the NBA and then I think in the NCAA area, you have to have three men. Refs. So you have to have three refs. So as Roosevelt was explaining yesterday, is that one ref came in, called the charge on Kevin Durant. Another ref in another position came in and called a block on LeBron James. Now, so I get, and I'm assuming this is what happened in the NBA, they have that, okay, we can go back and review a call. You have one ref making this call. You have another ref making another call. So they went over to the table. The head ref that sits over there, or that's probably on the floor, was probably looking at the film, seeing what happened, blah, blah, blah. When it was all said and done, the head ref just decided to go ahead and take the ref that called it a blocking foul to take his call and award two shots to Kevin Durant for Golden State.
Yep.
Now, in a two-man situation, if you had two refs out there, one of them says it's a charge, another one says it's a blocking foul, in a situation like that, what would happen is there would be a jump ball. When you have two refs that make two different calls, they will stop the play and say, hey, let's jump it up then. Because obvious one of us is right or wrong, or the other is right or wrong. So with the NBA, because you have the three refs, and I'm assuming when that call was made, neither of the two referees that made the call was not the head official. So the head official didn't have nothing to do with the call. He just had to go to the table and review it and determine who which referee was right and which one was wrong. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So just had to explain that out there for the audience.
Got two fences, jump it up.
Yeah, yeah. If you got two refs, yeah, you can jump. And I'm sure, even with the three man, I don't know the rules right offhand because it's been a while since I officiated. I'm sure in the three man, you probably got the same thing. Maybe the head referee could have said, "Hey, I disagree with both of you. Let's just jump the ball, you know, and go from there." So, just to kind of put that out there to everybody, I know that was kind of mysterious, but you know that
could happen. Was serious.
Yeah. So do you have anything else on game one?
No, I don't. We'll wait for game two tomorrow.
Exactly. So with that, now, before we jump off here, I want to discuss one other thing, and we kind of put that out there in the audience. And this will just be like a little prequel as to what's to come, especially when the season is over. As you know, yesterday we had the two gentlemen, and I guess at first you were in a deep discussion with them about the greatest of all time in basketball. Now, we know the commercial name that's going to always come up when they talk about the greatest of all time, any media people, they're going to say Michael Jordan. You know, we already know that. But when you talk to veteran Hall of Fame basketball players who played the game back in the 80s and the 70s and stuff, Michael Jordan is not going to come up in the conversation.
Nope.
Exactly. So I just want people to understand that. And we're gonna do a show on that and break that down. I'm gonna give people my opinion. Roosevelt can give his opinion. I may bring another person on the show to give their opinion, and we can have a discussion on this, on why I feel that Michael Jordan is not the greatest of all time. Now, is Michael Jordan, you know, is he a Hall of Fame? Is he a great basketball player to have played the game?
Yes,
of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. He's in there. He's in there for his position that he played. Sure, he's in there. He's going to always, in my book, always be a top 10 player of all time.
Mm-hmm. Top three, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people might have him top five. Some people might have him top three. Some people might have him number one. But just to let people know out there, when you say somebody is the greatest of all time, think of an almanac or something like that that keeps up with stats. Think of something like that. Hey, this person was the greatest of all time. Or if you say Warren Buffett was the greatest moneymaker of all time, well, the first thing you're going to look at is how much money did he make? You're not going to look at, well, he gave money to charity. He gave people good advice. He always went and spoke to folks at the stock market. You're going to look at, when you say he's the greatest investor of all time, you're going to look at, bottom line, what is his financial statements? What did he produce by the time he retired or walked out the door? What did he have that it produced that made people say he's the greatest of all time? And I just want people to keep that in mind. Statistics, think of basketball and what are the major categories of statistics. And tell me, what does Michael Jordan lead at that? When you're the greatest of all time, you have to lead at something. Yeah, you have to have something.
The only thing they're going to come up with is they can come up with only one thing. He's the only player to win six MVPs in the final. That's not a statistic.
You know, that's an award. That's not a statistic. Yeah.
That's an award. That's not a statistic.
And
the only thing they can come up with.
Right. And so.
Or else they can come up with defensive player of the year. Okay, he won it. I think that might be the only one he can come up with 13, 14 times.
Okay, but again,
not
that's.
Defensive player of the year on our defense team.
Okay, but again, that's an award. That's not a statistic. When you go and type it up,
that's an award.
That's not a stat.
Yeah, you're right.
And again, also, we're going to, also with that, we're going to take it into football. Because I know there's still a lot of discussion in football. Who is the greatest running back of all time? Now, of course, quarterback, they'll say it's this guy. Wide receiver, they'll say it's this guy. You know, defense, they'll say it's this guy. But there seems to be a problem with the running back. Because now there's four people in the conversation. And possibly there could be more. But now I know it went from three to four. So we're going to also discuss that too. Who is the greatest of all time on that? So with that being said, is Roosevelt, you have anything else you want to share with the audience?
That's it. No.
All right. Well, hey, man, thanks for your time. And we may tomorrow try to crank out a pregame. It'll be much shorter of what we think is going to happen in game two tomorrow sometime. I know the game doesn't start till tomorrow evening. So with that being said, you guys have a great day and take care and enjoy the rest of your Saturday and stay tuned for the next time. I'm out. Peace.